Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome. As America gears up to kick off the summer with a long Memorial Day weekend, it's not a great time to ponder how the Department of Homeland Security can be accused of trying to underline a Democrat narrative. You know, the dangerous nexus of domestic terrorism in America can start where? At suits and khaki headquarters of the Republican National Committee or the Heritage Foundation? Or at media outlets like Breitbart or the Christian Broadcasting Network? This actually happened. This was an astonishing finding, months in the making, here inside the Free Speech America huddle here at the Media Research Center. Joining us to discuss their shocking expose is Dan Schneider, the chief of the Free Speech Corps there.
The chief,
the jefe.
Wow, el jefe.
I usually call Bozell el jefe because he lived in Spain, but.
Maybe I'm el jefonito.
So here we are, the Biden administration, which I believe they were all about restoring the soul of America. That's not what this looks like.
I think when Biden says it, he means America spelled with a K.
Or three Ks.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So you obtained documents through the Freedom of Information Act showing that the Department of Homeland Security is using a terrorism fighting project to fund a bunch of left-wing academics who are trying to underline that somehow you can draw a straight line from the RNC or Heritage to Nazis,
right?
I mean,
right. Well, look, this is out of the Department of Homeland Security's Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. These are U.S. taxpayer dollars that are supposed to be used to stop terrorists from coming across our borders and to stop, you know, organized like gang violence killing us all. But instead of using those funds, our own tax dollars, to protect us from evil, those taxpayer dollars are being used against us. And in really nefarious ways. It's not simply, you know, calling us dirty names.
Yeah.
But there's actually, the government should never be calling any legitimate, decent American organization a dirty name. But they are, the actual training has gone on how to undermine and subvert organizations. And these are the sort of most mainstream, respected conservative organizations in the country.
And this is the problem. I mean, you would expect, we always see CNN, MSNBC, PBS, NPR, making connections between Trump world and white supremacy, or comparing Trump to the worst dictators. But this is something different. I mean, this is, as you suggest, it's taking Homeland Security dollars and I guess whenever you give grants to left-wing professors, what do you think you're going to get? But the joy of this, of what you found, short of the central image here, is what they called the pyramid of far-right radicalization. Here at the bottom, they have these logos. It's the RNC. It's CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. It's the NRA. It's Fox News. It's the Heritage Foundation. And JBS, is that supposed to be the John Birch Society?
Yeah, those are the Birchers.
And then one level up, then you have the Breitbart. You have Turning Point. You have PragerU.
Prager University.
Yeah.
The evil, maniacal Dennis Prager.
Right next to InfoWars. Or not right next to, but on the same level. And it's this sort of thing where they're clearly suggesting that Heritage and Fox and the Republican Party lead straight to.
They're not suggesting.
Yeah.
This is their belief in what they preach. And it's not even that they lead to, it's that they are. Mm. They are part of the radical evil right that must be stopped. It's just, you know, that the Christian Broadcasting Network is not quite as bad as the militant Nazis, but they're all within the same frame, according to the Department of Homeland Security's grant programs.
So the one that you dug up here was the University of Dayton in Ohio.
Well, this is the first one we've reported on.
Right. To draw on the expertise of the University of Dayton faculty to fight, quote, domestic violence, extremism, and hate movements, unquote. And this is exactly what happens, and that is when liberals think of extremism and hate movements, they think of just everyday Republicans.
Well, let me refer back to this pyramid, because you referred to movements, and there are two movements that are listed here as well. The Blue Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. So if you're pro-cop, you're evil. And the other movement, of course, is MAGA. So, yeah, what percentage of Americans fall within at least one of these organizations or movements? You know, if you add up the people who watch Christian Broadcasting Network or call themselves Republicans or...
Yeah, simply voted for Trump in 2020.
Or voted for Trump. Yeah, it's... Yeah, you know, this probably says that two-thirds of America is evil.
Yeah, I mean it is stunning, and I suppose this is what somebody might have thought when they proposed having a Department of Homeland Security after 9/11, is that some people, I'm sure on the libertarian right, on the suspicious left, they were sort of like, this is going to end up with the government basically doing some sort of domestic surveillance of people's speech.
Yeah.
Now, I know that a couple of weeks ago, this group called the Foundation for Freedom Online did another thing, same program. Basically, they were saying, they were training people to, like, watch out for pro-life moms. Watch out for white teenage soccer players. They might be radicalized. So this is the kind of thing where it's like, I remember the left was always so upset that you would suspect, you know, how dare you send a spy inside a mosque after 9/11?
Uh-huh.
I mean, now they're basically like, white Christian moms, they're the next wave of domestic terrorism. And nobody seemingly objects.
Well, I don't want to deter you from going down this path, but I want to make sure you know there's a parallel path here. As this money is being used to go after pro-life moms, the money is not being used to stop terrorists at the border. So I did the smart thing. I went on to the Department of Homeland Security website, and I looked to see how many terrorists or suspected terrorists were apprehended at the border. And during the 4 years of the Trump administration, on average, less than three terrorists were apprehended at the border. You know, even though Trump was on lockdown, trying to stop as much, you know, terrorists knew the border is not the way to get into the United States. In the first half of this fiscal year alone, already 98 terrorists and suspected terrorists have been apprehended at the border. Basically, the porous Biden border has announced to the terrorists all over the world, we're welcome for business, come on in. and you know, who knows what the actual percentage increase, 500%, 1,000% of terrorists and suspected terrorists trying to come into our country.
But if you were PBS, you'd say, look, the Biden administration is 30 times as effective at getting terrorists at the border.
You mean the future Nobel-winning President Biden?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we see in our public broadcasting system. Tell me about how this all started. You obviously had to make a decision that you were going to say, we're going to go into making Freedom of Information Act requests. I can say over at the Newsbusters media analysis side, we're always too busy watching crazy news. I've never filed a FOIA request. And is this what you thought you might find?
Yeah, well, how did this really start? Well, the president and founder of the Media Research Center is Brent Bozell. And you know, a few of us sat down with Brent, you know, before the beginning of this fiscal year, calendar year for MRC, and he instructed us, I want to pursue new ways, effective ways. We want to have measurable change, you know, come up with ideas. And you know, we collaborated and came up with, this is one of our initiatives. Let's do FOIA requests to find out how the media is collaborating with the Biden administration. And that's been our primary focus in this. We have uncovered quite a few sort of stunning revelations that were before, but before we go public with them, we're developing them more. This is the first one we've gone public with. And because, yeah, interestingly enough, this targeted violence and terrorism prevention program heavily focuses on media literacy. It's using the media and other avenues to try to influence how the public thinks of terrorists, you know, like Prager University and the Heritage Foundation, and of course, the dreaded Fox News.
You always have to beware when they start talking about media literacy. It's usually involved the so-called independent fact checkers. Going after the misinformation, and all of these things sort of have the same feeling, which is when conservatives start to talk, everything goes wrong. And somehow they think they never go over the top. You went to this, you were talking about a seminar the University of Dayton was held, and basically they sent the video to DHS, and one of the, a member of the faculty at Rutgers compared the Trump administration to the Khmer Rouge, which we should remind people, in the late 70s, the Khmer Rouge killed an estimated 2 million of their fellow citizens in Cambodia. And then another speaker compared Ron DeSantis proposing a volunteer civilian military force to assist the National Guard in emergencies such as hurricanes to the Holocaust.
Yes. Yes. So, this was the first conference that the University of Dayton put on, and it included DHS employees, staff, you know, in this conference. The materials from this conference were then the basis of the application for funding. So DHS had all of these materials, including this pyramid and other really crazy things, and DHS said, wow, we like this. We're going to give you $352,000. Do more of it.
And overall, you said there it's almost $40 million in grants.
So far.
Yeah, which is a lot of money, although obviously the department itself has a lot of money. But in this particular case, yeah, you're throwing millions of dollars at academics to warn people of the terrorist potential of mainstream conservative groups.
Yeah. Now, I keep on going back to this because there are two sides to this coin. One is that these dollars are being used against traditional American groups. And two, these dollars are not being used for the intended purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were stopping terrorists at the border and working on gang violence, we'd all think, all right, well, that's not a bad job for the federal government to be involved in. You know, we like to be kept safe from terrorists. But the dollars aren't being used that way.
You know, it is interesting now. I'm just sitting here pondering it, and that is that one of the things that President Trump really didn't get much credit for was kind of ending Islamic State as a terrorist threat here. I mean, where we are 2 years into the Biden administration, we wouldn't say we've had an Islamic terror attack, and I think that's true for most of the Trump years as well. Which I guess makes it easier for them to somehow make this theory now that all of the terrorism is somehow conservatives, usually white conservatives, often white Christian conservatives, you know. But it's the same thing where they're not willing to say, well, we're not going to define it as domestic terrorism when you throw a Molotov cocktail in a pro-life group's office.
Well, look, let's address the false premise first. I just can't tell you how much I despise when I hear the media and others refer to Nazis and neo-Nazis as far right.
Right.
On a political spectrum, the farther right you go, the less government intervention and control you want. The farther left you go, the more government control and intervention you want. Nazis are the definition of massive government control. And if you ever go on, and I encourage you to do so, go on one of these Nazi websites and you'll look at their priorities, and they despise the Constitution, the US Constitution. They despise free market capitalism. They despise the things that make up America. They are not right wing, they're left wing. Now, the second thing I despise about these programs, before I get to the second thing, but so even though these Nazis are really left wing,
yep,
they are lumped together with conservative, right of center groups like the Heritage Foundation and Breitbart and Prager and Blue Lives Matter. But then the second thing that just chaps my hide, if I may say, is that all of this effort is being targeted toward domestic terrorism. I'll give you some examples of domestic terrorism. The riots that took place during Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And the federal buildings like courthouses and things that were burned, attempted to be destroyed, and cops who were murdered, and civilians who were murdered. Remember Chaz and Chop in San Francisco, or
yep.
not, in a Seattle and Portland,
yep.
where people were murdered. Yet nary a comment can be found anywhere in any of these anti-violence programs about any of that kind of mayhem. And in fact, some of the materials we discovered said that if you believe that that the Black Lives Matter movement involved violence and terrible things, that's evidence that you're a terrorist.
We've seen this just this week when they've talked about, the third anniversary of the death of George Floyd. And the way it's described is a remarkable whitewash of what the history of the time was. Because it was basically like Floyd died and then there was a global revolution for change. And there's no mention of rioting and property destruction and police and citizens being killed.
Assassinated.
To a larger degree than January 6th.
Yeah.
This was one of the reasons the Republicans said, well, we would like to have a committee on riots and talk about the other riots too. And they were like, no, we're whitewashing those. We're going to call those a rebellion.
You're not allowed to use the word whitewash any longer. it's among the list that Stanford says is a triggering word.
Well, if we let Black Lives Matter get away with it, is it blackwashing? That sounds racist.
Yes, I we'll have to consult with Stanford what the term we're supposed to use.
If we tried to create terminology based on what the left tells us what to say, I mean, they basically their whole plan would be to tie us in knots.
Yes,
they don't really believe in us having much freedom to speak.
Correct.
And that's sort of what this is. I think you're absolutely right that. If we showed up somewhere to engage in free speech and somebody shows up with a Nazi flag, I'm turning around and walking the other way. I'm not going to be associated with that. I don't want that in somebody's cell phone picture because I reject all of that. But yes, we've had that discussion here many times. It's the National Socialist Party. That's what the Nazis are. But I guess they play this whole game. This has been the problem with the left-right ideological spectrum, which was to say, well, conservatives, they're really into the military. They're really into machismo. And they tend to like the whites best. Therefore, they're Hitler. I mean, it is kind of a crazy pyramid that they make.
My wife often says, who's a liberal because they never have smiles on their faces and they have no fun. Whereas conservatives, we're happy people. We like America and we have fun.
And we're also used to this kind of abuse. And so, this is like people saying, how can you sit there and watch television news all day? And it's like, no, you get used to it. Where on a day like today, like it's Friday, Memorial Day weekend, and people are coming in my office going, it's dull out there. Nobody's saying mean things about us. They're talking about airfares and picnics.
Well, you mean they're reporting on the events of the day?
Or what, you know, they're trying to be in sync with where people are on a day like this. I mean, Fridays can be slow news days to begin with. But it does sound like the debt ceiling thing is coming to a close, perhaps. I don't know how, on some level, Kevin McCarthy will be tied in with some pyramid when this thing is all over. I mean, can you imagine, let me ask you this. If under Trump, the liberals FOIA'd and found that the Department of Homeland Security had a pyramid, and at the bottom was MSNBC, and at the top was the Communist Party USA, or Al-Qaeda, who knows? I mean, they would lose their ever-loving minds.
Well, and let me just remind you, it's not merely a pyramid. It is a pyramid that's used to activate people, to disrupt, to deploy, to silence these organizations. It's, yeah, I know this sounds a little extreme, but let's look at what Nixon did at Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
He had his guys break in to find out what the Democrats were going to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the Democrats are breaking in to silence what we want to say. That's actually worse. It's worse than what Nixon did.
Well, usually when the liberals are saying something's worse than Watergate, it's they're trying to say George W. Bush was worse than Nixon. You know, Donald Trump was worse than Nixon. But I think if we're going to have a moment of modern history, Watergate has always been over-characterized. You know, and in sort of the same way that January 6th was over-characterized. And that is, have you ever read Victor Lasky? It didn't start with Watergate. This is for the young people. Could go out and find Victor Lasky. But obviously, the FBI, for example, was surveilling Martin Luther King. You know, there was a lot of dirty pool that was going on under Kennedy and Johnson. But what you had at that time, of course, was a press corps that loved JFK and was buddy-buddy with Lyndon. And so Nixon winning that election, they were all very upset. So, I mean, it was the beginning of scandal politics. Yeah. You know, scandals. Yeah. Scandals now are a major way that political parties fight with each other, and the media is obviously very crucial in all that. Let me ask you this: now that I've gone way off the point, so you say you've only released some, you've got more in reserve. What could you? I wouldn't want to say promise, but what could readers expect in the forthcoming weeks and months?
Oh, sadly, very sadly, we have lots to report because these programs are really so evil and so horrible. But yeah, on this first pyramid chart that we've described, you know, Tim, I don't see your name on it.
We want an MRC logo. We need a bulldog on that pyramid.
So the next report we release, it's going to include Newsbusters.
Oh.
MRC's Newsbusters as part of the evil conspiracy that must be silenced.
The far right.
Yeah, this is actually a document that my team just uncovered 10 minutes before I walked into the studio to have this conversation with you. Keep in mind, Joe Biden stood on the steps of Independence Hall and essentially said that half of Americans are fascists or near fascists. So these documents that we are uncovering from DHS and the State Department simply are consistent with what their boss, the chief executive of the executive branch of government, is saying. President Biden has said half of America are fascists. All right, well, let's stop the fascists, like Heritage Foundation. That's what his administration is up to.
Or in other words, the conservative movement is the enemy of the people. I mean, again, when Donald Trump suggested that fake news is the enemy of the people, They said democracy is dying in darkness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is kind of what this suggests, is that we want, you know, the government is investigating the dangers of conservative speech.
Tim, I know this is not entirely responsive to you, but a personal story. A number of times when I've confronted liberals, both face-to-face and through Twitter, you know, when they're calling me a fascist or something, I've challenged them. Define fascism without making reference to a person. I have yet to find a single person on the left who's able to do so, because all they ever do is say, you're a fascist. Trump's a fascist. Bush is a fascist. You know, okay, define fascism. They can't do it. They just get these blank looks if you're looking them in the face. On Twitter, they just go silent. They don't know what fascism is. It's just a slur they throw around.
I'll match you with the story. Now in the 80s, I was an intern briefly for Robert Novak, who a lot of our younger listeners may not recall. Evans and Novak, who in the 80s had a show on weekends on CNN. They were prominent columnists in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I was at a dinner party, and the rule of the dinner party was we're not going to discuss politics because it was a diverse grouping. And then somebody walked in and started saying, Robert Novak's a fascist. And I was like, excuse me, I don't mean to disturb the rules, but I did exactly that. How is Robert Novak a fascist? For which they did not have an answer. Now, I wasn't going to drag it out for 10 minutes because we were supposed to be in polite company. But in my personal experience, the conservatives always seem to be politer company.
We're happier people.
Have a rule that says let's not discuss politics, I will try to observe that. Mrs. Graham will kick me in the shin if I break the rule. She likes a nice civil dinner party.
Does she prefer kicking you in the shin as to your butt? Or?
Yeah, well, you can do it under the table. I think it'd be harder to kick the butt under the table.
Okay.
And then she also will do that at church if I sing too loud.
Really?
You're getting carried away there, mister.
Your sonorous voice, I assume.
Well, this is part of the problem, yes. I can get too enthusiastic in a hymn. So, which is, apparently, yes. We also have this. Catholics who go to Latin masses. That's not really my thing, but I get a kick out of that. Latin mass Catholics are a threat. The FBI is putting out memos saying we better go to these traditional Latin masses because that's where the terrorists gather.
Like many of the people listening to this, I very much like the Godfather series. So when I've heard
Brent Bozell too.
When I've heard that the FBI is going into church parking lots, you know, to spy on Catholics, I'm remembering that scene. I think it's the first Godfather movie, when the FBI is going and writing down the license plate numbers of all the vehicles, you know, in front of the Corleone complex.
There's all these dangerous anti-abortion stickers. What are we going to do with these people? They're clearly a domestic violence threat. And of course, I would say abortion is a violent threat. They never seem to acknowledge abortion is violence. All right. Well, I think we've run through what you've done, what you're doing, what you expect to do. We're very excited about this at Newsbusters. You know, we are doing original reporting, digging into the government. I'm very excited to see the next round. And so should you be. Keep turning to Newsbusters. We'll let you know when there's more. Have a good Memorial Day weekend, and maybe in between the hot dogs, you can squeeze in a little Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.